a lot of noise, right? All right. Welcome to the Texas Tailgate Podcast, Kyle. Kyle Garrett from Texas Toast. I like that. You just flew in as fast as you could from Terrell.
Yep.
When you sent me a text message saying you were coming from Terrell, I was like, oh, shit. No. 30 is dangerous.
It had me stay on 20, and I got here. Oh. I think I shaved like 6 minutes off, so I was proud of myself.
Oh, good, good. You're dropping by because we've got a new single on the way. You've got singles you've just been releasing. We're going to talk about those.
Yeah, man.
And talk about your podcast. Talk about your business experiences, and because you're more than just a podcaster. You are a musician, and also you have done all kinds of hats, right? Tour manager.
Yeah.
Roadie, probably.
Yeah.
Babysitter.
Oh, yeah.
How is you do you currently tour manage for Bree?
So I do not work for Bree anymore now.
Okay.
About a year ago, I got offered a job with another artist. I just couldn't refuse.
Okay.
So.
Is that a female artist as well?
Nope. It's a rock and roll dude in Houston. His name's Clay Melton.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. That's how different is that from a country female artist and a rock and roll dude?
I mean, it's extremely different. I was just telling somebody else this. Bree always made it seem like it was so much different working for her than it would be for anybody else, but she was, you know, there was a dog there, but that required nothing but some attention every now and then. Otherwise, she wasn't like demanding, you know.
Yeah.
She was a good boss, you know.
I wouldn't think so.
We were on the road. Yeah. It wasn't.
I was actually thinking the opposite, that your rock and roll guy would be a lot more demanding.
So he's an old friend of mine. Actually, him and I started our musical kind of journeys together when we were like little kids, and he kind of took his own path, and I took my own, and now we've come back together. I wouldn't say they're demanding, but those dudes party.
Yeah.
And I just,
you know, how old are those guys?
There's a mix. So I'm 29, and they're, two of them are about my age, and one of them's a little bit older.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So
yeah, I hung out with a rock and roll band recently, and they were much younger, than me. I'm almost 40. I'm 38. And they were like in their early 20s over at Billy Bob's.
Yeah.
And there was no partying.
Really?
No nothing. They were all playing video games all backstage. And I was like, this is weird. It was so quiet.
I mean, I've seen a lot of that. You know, I think it's case by case. These dudes, I love them to death, but they think they're Motley Crue.
Oh, no.
On tour, you know, like they're partying.
Those guys were notorious.
Yeah, and it's not that bad. We're not trashing hotel rooms and stuff, you know, but like they drink and they like to just stay up late and be loud and have fun and like more power to them. That's really not my thing. And I think tour managing Bree and in Texas country kind of helped me see that you don't have to do all that, you know, like, cause yeah. When I was young playing in my rock bands, like I probably thought I had to party to fit in the same way, but
your music is quite, it goes in that direction. It's rock.
Yeah, I would say so.
Where is that influence?
Man, it's, I've been hearing a lot of 90s lately from people, and I love that actually. I grew up listening to 90s rock, thanks to my dad, and
listened
to like mainstream, you know, the first couple records I bought, I was thinking about.
Because of your dad, you're 29.
Yeah. Yeah.
How old were you in the 90s? Like where is that?
I was five.
That's great.
But he had his CD box, you know, or his CD, like the big thing you flip through with like 100 pages of CDs, like listening to Dookie and Silverchair and Better Than Ezra and... I guess some of that's probably early 2000s, and then my mom listened to nothing but country. So,
oh, interesting.
Yeah.
What was her speed on the countryside?
You know,
90s country.
Yeah, 90s or you know whatever was. It's crazy now because thinking about listening to like modern country radio versus modern country radio 20 years ago or 15 years ago, even we were listening like Brooks and Dunn. I always tell people the Chicks are my favorite band.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's actually true, but I love the Dixie Chicks.
Yeah, man, they're Texas all the way through. Nobody wants to say that.
And they're rock and roll, man. The drums were like double kick, and you know, shoot, Natalie's belting it. So I think that kind of made sense for my taste. But yeah, I think Red Dirt Road was like one of the first records I ever bought.
Oh wow,
or CDs, you know.
Yeah, now you're making me real feel old because I was in college.
I mean, I was when that probably, came out. I don't know. I might have been like 12. Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that. You're about 10 years older than me. Yeah.
So I was 18 in 2003. Mm. So,
yeah.
Yeah. You know, early 2000s. It's funny to see things come back around where grunge music has become so heavily influencing Texas country.
Yep.
Which, wasn't on my bingo card.
Yeah.
For sure, especially in the last 15 years I've been working this scene, working within this scene. Who did you record? Who have you been working with on recording?
Yeah. So I put out an EP that we just kind of did at home. We actually recorded it at Clay's house in like 2021, and that's on Spotify and stuff, but you can really tell the quality difference. It was kind of just like, hey, I want to put some music out. And then I worked for Bree for 2 years, so I wasn't doing my own thing at all. The songs that I'm putting out this year, there's a batch of six that I recorded with Tim Lightyear. Who,
okay.
You know Tim?
Yeah.
So I didn't know him previously.
His studio in Oak Cliff or in a different studio?
No. So, well, we did some of the stuff at his studio in Oak Cliff, and he's opening a new studio in, I think, Cleburne, actually. He's building it right now. But
Holy crap. Yeah. Hit him up because I live in Cleburne now.
Oh, you should, man. Yeah. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's where he said they were moving, further south from Oak Cliff. We recorded most of it, actually tracked it at Drew Herrickel's place out in Boyd.
Okay.
And man, those guys and Dylan Welsh helped out too. He's in Lowdown Drifters, and I couldn't have asked for a better group of dudes. The circumstance for finding them and getting linked up with them was like totally, random. I didn't know them. I didn't, you know, I wasn't looking for them, but I found them and it worked out really, really well. I'm super happy with how all that turned out.
And the content that they're creating is music that they're creating is very unique. I've seen we've distributed quite a bit of stuff that they've produced.
They're definitely pushing the limits, you know, like they took the songs all to another level, and they knew that I was into the rock stuff, so those guys not necessarily having that experience, like, pushed even harder in that kind of rock direction. So you hear a lot of that on these songs, and I'm stoked about how it came out.
An 18 beer is what it's gonna take on any given night to be okay. I'm 13 gone, still keeping score. Five more to go before I won't be missing you anymore. It's been a long, long week, working a hard day, not getting anything done, daydreaming of your face. I walk the line and always end up on your side. Honey, you wouldn't do this to me, and I can't help but imagine what you're feeling. How do you keep on putting up with me? Five more down in your seat. Another side of me. And I can be mean, but you keep me nice. With you, girl, I am lost in my own paradise. Can you feel the breeze? Honey, but imagine what you're feeling. How do you keep on? hold you and kiss you till the sun comes back up. Honey, something's wrong inside my head, but I'm fighting to forget it. Honey, you wouldn't do this to me, and I can't help but imagine what you're feeling. How do you keep on putting up with me? Five more down and you'll see. So 13 beers, who's keeping score? I won't be missing you anymore.
Yeah, tell me about keeping score.
Yeah.
Who's keeping score?
Yep.
Where'd that come from? Where'd the song lyrically come from?
Yeah, I think that one, it's funny, my girlfriend now, who I was not dating whenever I wrote the song, it's like, oh, that was foreshadowing. You were thinking about our, you know, what the relationship we have now. But I think at the time I was just kind of like thinking on, to be honest, I wanted to write like a waltz, like a song in three, and kind of like more of a dancey song. And I imagined it way more country in my head, but in the studio it turned into what it is. But I think it's really just kind of like a story of like maybe reflecting memories, but really just kind of like how to feel or how to deal with those like intense emotions of, regret or like shame, things like that. And you know, you're drinking 18 beers to either forget about, you know, that feeling so you don't have to experience it, or to forget about that person, or you know, whatever it may be. I think that's kind of where that story lives for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It comes out the 15th, correct?
Yep. Yeah. March 15th.
And this is one like three or four, right?
You mean songs?
Yeah.
So I put out those three in 2022, and then those, I didn't even tell anybody I was putting them out, so they're just sitting there. Good songs, I think. So if you're curious, you can go check them out. But yeah, that's number two out of six. I'm doing the thing where it's like I'm just dropping a song every 8 weeks on the dot. All year.
Okay.
So
how is that? Now we're getting into music weeds right here, business weeds. How's that worked out for you?
I mean, I haven't seen the result of it yet, because typically it's it's like you can spend all day reading stuff and saying, oh, try this, do this. So I just decided that I wanted to do this as an experiment to kind of see what happens. And apparently song two or song three is when it really starts to kick in as far as like the Spotify streaming side of things. But I mean, the first song I put out in January is called Backseat Driver, and it's received a great response. I mean, way better than any release I've ever had. And I've been putting out music since I was like 15. So it's cool.
I'm happy. I like figuring out, you know, everybody's got their own way of doing things.
Yeah.
I always tell my clients, you know, every 4 to 6 weeks, eight is good number two.
Yeah.
Backseat Driver, I was making a post on Instagram before you came in that we're going to be here podcasting it, and that was the song that I used in the video.
Cool.
So tell us about that song.
Yeah, that one's it's an interesting take on kind of like a happy relationship, and if you watch the music video, that'll kind of help, because me and my girl we went out to Copeland, Texas, and just drove around in the truck and like acted cute and stuff. But like generally a backseat driver is not a good thing. That's not something you want to be called.
Yeah. It's a negative.
Right. Yeah. So I thought it'd be fun to kind of take that concept and make it like I'm the backseat driver, or your partner is, you know? And it's kind of, to me, it's just a reminder that like all the little annoying things in a relationship, like, you know, her not knowing where she wants to go eat for dinner, or like me taking too long to do the dishes, like all that stuff's worth it if you've got the right person by your side.
So. Yeah, no, it's not worth it. I have been married for 15 years, and that to all, like, tell me where you want to go eat, please. you know, and then you start throwing out places. And she's like, no, I don't want to eat there. And I'm like, please just tell me where you want to go. It's the shortest list.
Yeah.
And I hope she hears this and cusses me out later. So that's what I live for now. Mm-hmm. That's where I'm at in my relationship. You're still young. You're not married yet. So
we'll see. I'm excited to figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah. And then she's going to hear that and you're going to get in trouble.
No, we're going to navigate the waters. We'll figure it all out.
let's have a chat about your podcast. Mm-hmm. Tell me, and you're probably, you came in and you said you were already on a podcast. You probably already had this discussion. Where did that build from? Like, how did you fall into being a podcaster?
Totally.
Yeah.
Great question. I mean, I've always been not always, but you know, I, at some point over a decade ago, I discovered podcasts and started listening to stuff here and there. And, you know, like, just kind of evolved. Whenever I was in college, I graduated high school early and moved to Austin and went to a trade school, and then also went to ACC and studied music business and that stuff. And for my internship, I started a podcast for a nonprofit music organization. And so that kind of like sparked the interest. It's like, okay, I can do this, you know. Then didn't have anything to do with podcasts for probably 4 years after that. And right at the beginning of COVID, I quit a job, broke up with a girl, and was kind of just like, oh shit, what do I do? And so I started looking on LinkedIn and like literally applied for an internship with a booking agency in Texas.
Okay.
And pretty quickly, you know, they were like, hey, we want to start a podcast and like kind of grow, you know, like use it to help grow our name and like get the attention of artists and stuff. And I was like, okay, cool. Like what, you know, sounds fun. I've done that before. And then, Helen Elshick, who's the host of Texas Toast, was paired up with me. And originally she was like, no way, like this is not going to work. And here we are over 300 episodes as of last weekend.
Well, excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're dropping like three a week, ain't you?
We do two a week. Every now and then we'll do, like coming up, we'll do three because I've got a couple bonus episodes coming. But yeah, it's a lot of stuff, man. And, you know, that's far from my main job. But, and I also produce Bree Bagwell's podcast, okay. Only Vans. I think I just love it. You know, all the connections I've had as far as music, you know, I would have never met Bree and then ended up tour managing for her or getting the job I have now. And I've done a lot of independent kind of freelance video and stuff too. And all that has been a result of Texas Toast. So it's kind of cool how I didn't even know Texas country was really a thing a couple, 3 years ago. And,
yeah.
And now here I am, you know.
It is quite wild. Before we jumped on, I was giving my spiel about how I ended up there. And that is how you end up. It's like all of a sudden somebody pulls you into it and,
oh yeah.
And then they don't let you leave without a fight. And, to this day, I still get people hit me up about my magazine that I used to do.
That's so cool, but it looks awesome.
Well, thank you. And, tariffs killed that. That's why I stopped doing that. Wow. As funny as it is, paper doubled overnight.
Yeah. Damn. I was like, that's crazy.
I'm done. This is done.
Yeah.
I'm barely making money on this anyway. But we kept doing sessions all the way up until, when the pandemic happened, then it was kind of like, why are we still doing this? There's other things to worry about. Texas Toast has been blows my mind because that is that output. How do you keep fresh and not lose your mind doing that output?
You know, you help. I get your blast.
God damn you, DJ.
I get your blast every week. Well, I was just telling somebody else. It's actually, I won't even say who it was, but there was another publication that I was kind of drawing from. So what we do is every Tuesday we talk to an artist. Helen interviews an artist, and it's like a kind of a blend between like casual podcasting and like radio conversation. All the podcasts are about 30 minutes, so not to overload the audience. And then on Fridays it's just her and I talking, and I pick two brand new streaming releases to talk about, and she picks two radio releases to talk about.
And I've heard both of those.
Yeah.
So how do y'all both? Y'all just give each other free reign, or yeah. y'all okay?
Well, I mean, I produce the show. There's been quite a few changes actually, just kind of in the general format lately. I've been trying some new things. That's what's fun about it for me. I have to change up things here and there, just to kind of keep it interesting and you know see if we start the podcast differently for like 2 months, if the numbers grow or if the retention sticks or something. You know, just I'm kind of a. I wouldn't say I'm like an analytics nerd, but I'm kind of like a noob almost. Like I'm learning all of it right now, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I don't even look at that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, for me and everybody else who's out there that wants to start a podcast, some of it's just about the SEO for, you know, it's like, oh yeah.
Yeah. But that's your forte. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like the fact that, I'm putting this podcast out with you and putting Texas Toast in the metadata, and all of a sudden everybody's like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
I know that guy and I know that guy.
Right. Yeah.
Some of my podcasts, they do better based on whether or not the artist will share it.
Well, of course.
That's my frustration.
I've tailored my process for our guests to make it like as presentable as possible for the management or the artist whenever, like as soon as we, when we're done recording, I send them an email thanking them or whatever, but then I send them like a beautiful, beautiful package of content for them to use. And at my whole, I'm always tailoring it, trying to be like, okay, what can I do to like, to make them want to, cause
so when
like,
you say tailor, do you mean like, okay, I know this guy does mostly TikTok. I'm going to send him a little TikTok video.
Well, So yeah, maybe not individually tailored to the artist, but like the package. So like, for example, we just had John Wolf on and I sent them like a few standalone graphics. One of them's like a picture of him with like a quote, like a cool quote that he said. One's like a kind of like a tile piece is what I call it. And it's just his picture with his name and Texas Toast. And then there was like six different like TikTok reels with the captions already in there.
Okay.
So it's like so much content, right?
Yeah.
But the problem is, and I love all the Texas podcasts and where we all support each other and stuff, but the problem is you have to stand out.
Some of them talk shit, but
fair. Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's a little bit of that, but yeah, we try our best to be, supportive of everybody, but we've got to somehow stand above the rest or maybe make the experience more enjoyable for the guest.
Yeah.
I still haven't figured out exactly what it comes down to, but to get to your point, the most helpful thing is when they share it. So I'm just trying to figure out how to get them to share it.
Yeah. It's like, I've been doing a little bit of booking for an artist lately and some of them send over, we're not going to record unless you agree to share all this stuff. I've seen different ways of doing it. And this kind of work, it's such a niche. It's such a small niche out of the whole recorded industry. Texas country is a fraction of a fraction.
Right.
And, whatever we do, and this is coming from now 15 years of experience being in this scene this is a labor of love.
Totally.
And you know, there's a few people that make it through and make a lot of money. And I know this because I work for the distribution company. I see it. I see a shit ton of people making a lot of money, but, not a shit ton. I see a few people making a shit ton of money. Let me flip that.
Yeah.
But for the most part, all of our scene is it's a hard sell for outside of Texas, outside of our very very small group of people that are down here in Texas.
Yeah. I mean, I keep telling Helen, recently I've told her multiple times, totally joking, because she absolutely loves what we do, and that's the only reason it still exists. And like I said, I've kind of figured out a way to monetize it personally. You know, selling my services or getting a job through an artist I meet. So it's worked out for me financially. She hasn't hardly made a dime from it, but she loves it, you know, but
yeah,
I don't know. It's like I was, you know, we hit a milestone. I thought it was pretty cool. I was proud of myself. I hate to drop names, but like we had Parker McCollum on the other day. Yes, and like, you did. To me, that was like, wow. Like, you know, we're not a big podcast. That's pretty sweet. And, you know, I know he does other shows, but I don't care. It's like, I thought that was cool that we finally nailed him down, because I've been trying. but it's like, we've got Parker McCollum, Josh Abbott, Mike Harmeyer from Silverada.
Yeah.
And then John Wolfe today, and a couple more like pretty big names. And it's like, if you have a stretch of guests that, you know,
at that caliber, yeah,
with that caliber, and your numbers don't grow exponentially, then that kind of almost tells me that there's just not an audience.
You know? Yeah. Yeah.
We're not going to quit, but like, you know, if the audience exists that wants to hear these stories from these people, they would have found the podcast by now.
Yeah.
Is my thought, you know?
Totally. And with what you got going on, and seeing how other podcasters grow their business.
Yeah.
Is there any plans for expansion? A Texas Toast franchise, like you know how it's like, okay, we got a sister show.
Yeah. No, I mean, no
sister shows.
I would love to produce events, you know. That would be really cool, and that's been pitched to us by artists countless times.
Yeah.
It's just my schedule's so busy, and Helen lives down on the coast in Matagorda, and she's living her best life, so
I bet.
You know, it's one of those things that I would love to do. I would just have to kind of have, similar to this whole solo project, these songs I'm releasing now for myself, I would have to have the right time and the right resources to like make that happen to its full extent.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm kind of like an all or nothing kind of guy, you know, like we've got the system down for the machine. It's very well oiled, and we, you know, do our two episodes a week, and we don't really have to talk outside of that. We do sometimes just for fun, but it's like just easy and consistent. But yeah, I would like to do some more stuff. It's got to be the right situation. You know, we've got a show at Docedo on March 16th.
What kind of show is that going to be?
It's we're calling it the Texas Toast Birthday Jam, but it's our third birthday.
Okay.
We're going to kick it off with a live interview with Helen and Rich O'Toole.
Okay.
And then,
Oh, Rich.
Yeah. Oh, Rich. He's a friend of the show. And then I'm going to be playing, and we've got, an artist from Houston, actually two artists from Houston, Charlie McCabe and Paige Lewis are both going to be joining. And we're probably going to do like a little bit of swapping and on and off. So it's going to be more of like a party than a show. but that's going to be fun. That's probably the reason I'm kind of walking around, tiptoeing around it, is because I feel like that's going to inspire me to do a bunch more stuff like that, but I don't have time.
There's one thing that you have an advantage of, is that you are not tied to one metropolitan area like a radio personality would be.
Yep.
You know, like Shane Hollinger here in Fort Worth, or Chuck in Dallas.
Yeah.
You heading out all the way to the other side of the state is,
sure,
you can make it work as long as it financially works for you.
Well, I mean, and that's the thing, is if we get the right artists to pull people in, and then we get a sponsor to pay for the artists or whatever, or even partially pay for the artists, then that's all that is people are coming to see that artist, but it's a Texas Toast event. So we're just promoting the podcast at that point.
Yeah.
You know, and I have the, somewhat of the experience to put on a show. It'd be awesome to put on like a big ass festival, but
yeah, that would be cool.
You know, everybody's doing that already, and I got too much stuff going on.
And even if it wasn't a big one, a modest sized one.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. My favorite festival is, what is it called? Viva Big Band.
Mm.
Texas Music Magazine throws that.
Oh, wow.
I went to the first one because I was living out in Midland.
Mm.
At the time, and they take over all the venues in Alpine,
okay,
and Marfa, and they've expanded to Fort Davis and Marathon.
Damn, that's cool.
It's a really cool one because it's like a smaller South by Southwest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you get a wristband, and you can go to the Railroad Blues or go to the Granada.
Wow.
Go to Planet Marfa and go see all these bands and.
I didn't even know they did that.
Yeah,
check it out. My girlfriend's her And it's happy places, Big Bend.
Oh yeah, check it out because it's at the end of July. It's usually the last or second to last weekend in July.
Damn.
And that's where I've seen a lot of great acts up and coming. And some of them were up and coming at the time. Now it's been so many years.
Sure, sure.
Because I think the first one was like in 2011 or 2012.
Hmm. Who puts it on? Do you know?
Texas Music Magazine.
Oh, right. Sorry. You said that.
Stuart Ramser. That's cool. Wow. And his crew down there.
Damn. That's awesome.
Yeah. Really cool. Like, it's been a few years since I've been able to get out there there, but most of the time you go look at the headliners it's not really a headliner, but there's the people playing out there is like Summer Dean and
cool.
I saw Shawnee Ribbs out there and William Clark Green and Josh Abbott, and bigger, different Texas acts go out there. It's really Austin. That scene in Austin goes to that area pretty much.
Okay. Like all the good Austin leaves.
Yeah. You know, if you're in the Texas music scene in Austin, like a bunch of those people head out to during that weekend.
So you find some bronze out there.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Mike and the Moon Pies.
Yeah.
Now, they were then.
Right.
Saw them out there.
Cool.
And those guys I've known for a long time and killer crew. That's it'd be interesting to see if find a area and just like, we're gonna take over this spot for a second.
Yeah.
Texas Toast with toast in the name, you got to do something early in the morning, right? Maybe
have it a morning
breakfast.
Oh
festival.
My god, brunch.
Anything with mimosas, I'm down.
And not blues. Jeez.
We're just going to have Texas Toast brunch on a Sunday.
Oh, man.
Mimosas, Bloody Marys.
Maybe that's what we do. Just don't even have music. We just start hosting a brunch one first Sunday. Oh, man. That's genius.
That is genius.
I'm have to
waffles,
give you, I'm have to give you
bacon.
Credit.
We're good.
Oh, man.
Sit a left or a right, you're trying to get lost tonight. I'm a little fucked up, you're gonna have to drive. Wait, I think you missed your turn, but we've still got plenty of time and green left to burn. I'm riding around with my girl and I'm chilling in the backseat. Flips her hair, she's staring back at me. What have I gotten myself into? Good Lord, I'm in it over blue. She takes me out and she brings me home. And I just tell her where to go while I'm looking for my lighter. I'm a backseat driver. Takes a wrong turn, it's easy to pretend nothing went wrong, nothing to be said. It's easy to not care, we can go anywhere. I'm riding around with my girl and I'm chilling in the backseat. She flips her hair, she's staring back at me. What have I gotten myself into? Good Lord, I'm in head over boot. She takes me out, she brings me home. And I just tell her where to go while I'm looking for my lighter. Cause I'm a backseat driver, yeah. Yeah, she takes it all away and cleans up my mistakes and keeps me around to say I'm riding around with my girl and I'm chilling in the backseat. She flips her hair, she's staring back at me. What have I gotten myself into? Good Lord, I'm in head over boots. She takes me out, she brings me home. Now just tell her where to go while I'm looking for my lighter. Her, yeah, 'cause I'm her backseat driver. Backseat driver, oh, backseat driver.
What do you got going on for the future, man? What's the plan? You got,
yeah.
You're releasing a song every 8 weeks. Once you hit those the end of the songs that you've got, what's the plan?
Yeah, I mean, alongside, you know, these releases, I'm trying to kind of like, I'm also experimenting with content styles and stuff and short form and just kind of having fun with it all to figure out what I like the best. And then hopefully I can just kind of fall into my groove moving forward. Musically, I've got another little project in the works for once these songs are out, but I don't want to spoil that it. Yet. It's going to be... it's going to be very different, but that's what every single person ever has said. But it is, the songs are very different from anything I've released. They're more songwritery songs. And it's going to be just kind of produced a lot different. So that's the next plan. Nothing's recorded yet, but that's the idea.
Songwritery, huh?
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
More story driven. My writing, to be honest, and you know, I'm not ashamed to admit this, but like, I like poppy shit.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Like songs that are catchy and simple, and I don't have to think too hard to understand them. And I want to sing along, and I want it to get stuck in my head.
Those are the songs that people put on repeat.
Sure, and I've always written that style just because that's what I love. You know, you were asking about influence, and I told somebody the other day, my influences are. The Dixie Chicks, John Mayer, and Incubus.
No, Incubus. There you go. Yeah.
That's as wide as it gets, you know.
It's a spectrum for sure. Yeah.
But I like catchy music, and these songs are still gonna be they're gonna have hooks, but it's gonna be more about stories and more about kind of the song itself rather than the instrumentation and all that stuff. So
okay.
Yeah. Otherwise, I'm just trying to book some shows, man. Trying to get out there and play some shows. You know, I never had time when I was on the road with Bree, but now I've got some time. And
well, if people are listening, then hopefully they reach out to you and
please
book
do
some shows.
Yeah.
And maybe if anybody listens to this podcast, if they do, they probably already know your podcast. That's just a fact.
Maybe.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
We do have Texas in the name.
Yeah.
So
there's lots of Texas podcasts, man. I feel like everybody's just picked one and they don't listen to any other ones.
Maybe. Because we all get the same people coming in. Historically, I've done only our clients. And there was a stretch where we were doing live. And we had all kinds of people show up, we also distribute another podcast, Quade Addison. Do you know Quade?
Mm-mm.
Quade was he worked at the Rebel in Lubbock for a little bit.
Yeah.
He lives in, Oklahoma now, and I don't think he's even in radio anymore, but. He was one of those funny guys that, he did things a little different where, he interviewed everybody at the Blue Lot and they were already like three sheets to the wind in. So,
that's perfect.
And other things.
Yeah.
There's many a times where I put out a podcast and I had a message from a manager going, hey can you please pull that?
Yeah, I bet. Jeez. That sounds entertaining as hell.
I listened to like the first few minutes of it and make sure that everything sounded okay.
Yeah.
And then I would just put it out.
Right.
Not really thinking that, hey, an hour into this, they're smash talking shit about somebody. and God bless him. You know, he left Lubbock and moved to Oklahoma and started working for a dispensary. So he's
found
it is what it is. Yeah. But Yeah, there's several of them. Like the last one he did was with Giovanni and the Hired Guns.
Oh, wow.
And
that's, and that sounds right up Gio's alley.
It is.
A blast.
Yeah, and he's a fun guy to hang out with. We did a session up in Memphis with Gio, and it was a wild night that I'd completely missed because I had a headache, and I went to the hotel, and my boss and my intern, they went out to Beale Street and ended up seeing Justin Timberlake on stage. At,
wow.
At
the, oh, I guess that's his. That's
his hometown. Yeah. It was that a random sense. Wednesday.
Wow.
And he jumps on stage, starts singing Chris Stapleton. And and they watched the sunrise in Memphis, and I was at the hotel with a sinus infection.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. So missed out on that.
I'm sure you can recreate it.
Yeah, someday. Yeah. I like Memphis.
Yeah. I like downtown. Well, actually, that's not true. I like Memphis, too, I think. There's
Memphis
parts
is
of Memphis
weird.
I don't
I was,
like.
I was having this discussion last week. People go, Memphis, that's a really dangerous town. I'm like, yeah, but I like it. I love the history. It's not the fact that somebody's offering you needles at the at the corner store, you know, it's like we hang out at some of the coolest recording studios.
Yeah. And then you walk outside and there's like 50 dudes riding their four wheelers doing wheelies. You know,
that I didn't see that, but you know, like we were going to Sun Studio was really fun and getting to record in there and take guys in there to do that. It's just so different with historic studios.
Totally. Because you're thinking about like honoring that legacy the whole time you're sitting
totally.
In there. I'd be like, I don't think so, man.
and in there, have you ever been to Sun Studio?
Yeah.
Having all the photos of people recording in there.
Just watching you do it.
Watching you do it is kind of wild that first time. And and then all of a sudden it's like, you do it five or six times and you're like, this is old hat, but it's just still fun to see the young guys come in and be like, oh my God, there's Elvis on the wall.
Yeah. Is he watching?
Yeah. There's another one that I want to go to bad is Sam Phillips. The man who owned, Sun Studio when he sold that, he went not too far, down the street and opened up Sam Phillips recording.
Okay.
And his son is still alive and
running it
and running it.
Wow. I
met him.
Know that.
Yeah. I met him at Americana Fest and I told him what we did and he was like, you got to get in there. And then there's a Blue Royal where Bruno Mars did his recordings, but back
I've
in
read
the
about them.
60s and 70s, Al Green, Aretha Franklin, a lot of people did some really badass recordings there.
Yeah.
That's another one I want to get into bad. Yeah. And it's none of the studios are fancy by any means.
Right.
And they're working studios, but they have such history.
Yeah.
And I love that.
Man, it just made me think of it. Did you, I'm not even a big like mainstream country guy, but did you see that Morgan Wallen session? And he just put out a thing, a bunch of sessions in Abbey Road.
Oh, no, I haven't.
It's sick.
No.
It's so cool.
I love that. You know, that's just another working studio.
Right. And that's what made me think of it. It's like Sun, you walk in there and it's just a plain room, but it's got all that history and all that crazy. You know,
Sun
is
fun
because
you got to wait till the last the tour that goes through there.
Right, sure.
Once that's done, you can come in. But
yeah,
Abbey Road, it's you pay by the day, just like any other studio.
It's crazy.
And there's a few people like Mike and Silverada.
Yeah, they went over there and did it.
They've done some sessions, and I don't know if you know Keegan McEnroe, but he's done some sessions as well. He's a Dublin, Texas artist.
Oh, wow.
Spends a lot of time in Europe traveling, but he did a few sessions there. And he's got another album coming out pretty soon. His last album was done in an old church in Terralingua.
Oh wow, that's sick.
It is
Damn.
Pretty cool.
Keegan McEnroe.
Okay, yeah,
I'll check him out on the way home.
Really, really killer. I've known him for a long time.
Very cool.
The historical studios though, it's just I keep telling all my artists is you could mix and master anywhere. But go track at this place. Yeah. Get some photos of yourself.
Yeah, man. It's like getting into Muscle Shoals.
Muscle Shoals is another one, man.
God, dude. It's crazy.
If you've ever reached out to them, they'll tell you their day rate. And yeah. It's no different than like going over here to Bart Rose's Fort Worth Sound or going to or what's Rosewood.
What's the one out there in El Paso?
Sonic Ranch, in Tornillo.
Oof.
Yeah. It's that one's still the same way. They got three recording studios. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And their day rates is not that bad.
Yeah, I know.
But you got to pay for multiple days.
Sure. Of course. Yeah. But they put you up and they feed you and stuff too. I was talking to Paul from the Wilder Blue about their experience. Yeah. And he just said it was the coolest shit.
I didn't know they recorded out there.
They did their last record out there with Brent Cobb.
Yeah. A lot of killer people recorded out there.
Oh, yeah.
And it's becoming less of a hidden gem as it was.
Sure. Right.
Too many good albums are showing up.
Yeah. I feel like they rotate kind of, you know, it's like from all the, like the top 10, it's like Electric Ladyland, you know?
And that one's a good one too.
Yeah. We went in there last year and checked it out. And
have you ever seen, Dave Grohl's Sonic City? Man, that one.
What was that studio called?
They did a bunch of them every single episode.
Oh, different. Okay, sorry. Well, I was thinking about the studio that like Nirvana recorded in and stuff, and then he ended up buying.
That was in Chicago.
Okay,
that was like one of the first episodes of the whole season.
Okay,
and I love that one because the producer on there, he talks about how he never took points off of Nirvana, and Dave Grohl's like, this guy could be rich beyond belief, but he never took points.
Wow.
And he's like, I'm like a plumber. I just, you pay me and I make the thing happen. And it's like,
oh man.
Bah.
Yeah. See, that's funny. I have a struggle with that. I actually called a mentor of mine not too long ago to kind of get some advice on just, you know, career stuff. And he kind of said to do that. And it's like, well, but if I do that, then I might miss an opportunity. And it's like, I don't want to be a millionaire. I mean, it'd be cool to be a millionaire, but like, that's not my goal. Nice. You know, I just want to have money. I want to like be able to live the life I want to live. But it's like, you know, I go into all these new ideas. It's like, oh, you're going to be partners.
One of the things is everybody wants to do that, but then they forget that the music business is a bitch.
Yeah.
And you're going to, even if they do sign on the dotted line, you get your 2% or 3% as a producer, you got to go fight for it. You got to go audit them.
Right.
You know?
So either way, still get your hourly rate.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the truth.
Yeah.
It's fun, man. We work in, we choose to be here.
True. Yeah, we do. And, there's a lot more lucrative genres to be in.
That's a whole new podcast. But I come from a world of alt rock where we're playing in venues to nobody all year round around the country for like maybe $100.
Yep.
So we got this world is filthy stinking rich to me.
Yeah. True. There's a lot more leeway in becoming a middle income artist where you can
making a living, supporting. Yeah.
I always like to bring up like you could live like a plumber.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny going back to plumbers make really good money, but in this business you could make that money and never have to touch shit. It's just like you'll be good.
Yeah.
$300,000-$400,000 a year and got two cars and garage and all that stuff. You could live like that.
Yeah.
But you know, and one problem with the whole music business is the bottom is filled up with lots of people and content and it's only the top that really shine through and get up there and make a lot of money.
Man, we were talking to John Wolfe on Texas Toast the other day, and he was, you know, talking about, I think Helen had asked him if he had advice or whatever for like people like in my position. And
yeah.
He was like, well, you know, I tell him good luck or something. Cause like, I don't even know how I got here, but like you got it way harder than I got it. You know, it's crazy. You know, I've done so much crazy shit like as far as like creating content, like I posted a TikTok every day on TikTok for an entire year.
Oh, wow.
Because of people like John Wolf saying like, you know, the only thing that I know that I did is be consistent. And I guess at some point when I was a kid, I took that to mean like, oh, if I am consistent, then I will become successful. not you might. That improves your chances like tiny. It's like, oh, all I got to do is be consistent and be good.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna have a career.
Yeah. So, and sometimes it's showing up for, you know, eventually something takes hold.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's where I'm at. I'm just going to keep doing it until something takes hold. Cause it's the only thing that makes me feel like this, you know?
Yeah.
I love it, man. It's,
yeah. And you get to do fun things like come and do podcasts.
Hell yeah.
And have your own
and
podcast.
It's like, we've been friends for a year or two now and we finally get to meet in person.
Totally.
Is it a left or a right? You're trying to get lost tonight. I'm a little fucked up. You're gonna have to drive. Wait, I think you missed your turn. But we've still got plenty of time and green left to burn. I'm riding around with my girl and I'm chilling in the backseat. Flips her hair, she's staring back at me. What have I gotten myself into? Good Lord, I'm in it over blue. She takes me out and she brings me home. And I just tell her where to go while I'm looking for my lighter. I'm a backseat driver. Takes a wrong turn, it's easy to pretend nothing went wrong, nothing to be said. It's easy to not care, we can go anywhere. I'm riding around with my girl and I'm chilling in the backseat. She flips her hair, she's staring back at me. What have I gotten myself into? Good Lord, I'm in head over boot. She takes me out, she brings me home. And I just tell her where to go while I'm looking for my lighter. Cause I'm a backseat driver, yeah. Yeah, she takes it all away and cleans up my mistakes and keeps me around to say I'm riding around with my girl and I'm chilling in the backseat. She flips her hair, she's staring back at me. What have I gotten myself into? Good Lord, I'm in head over boots. She takes me out, she brings me home. And I just tell her where to go while I'm looking for my lighter. Backseat driver, a backseat driver, oh, backseat driver.
So much fun, man, to have you on. We're up here almost at an hour. Where can everybody find you social media wise if they haven't already?
yeah so Kyle Garrett Music on Instagram, Facebook, kylegarrettmusic.com. You can find tour dates, Spotify, probably a bunch of other stuff, tickets, you know. TikTok is something, maybe Kyle Garrett TX, I don't know. It's changed a few times trying to cheat the system, see if they'll show me to some more people, but
yeah.
You can find me on there. Yeah, come catch a show.
Yep. And how about the Texas Toast? Where can you find that?
Texas Toast. You just literally just search Texas Toast Podcast on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, literally anywhere. It's everywhere you listen. Yeah, I think that's awesome. It. Check out Breeze Podcast, Only Vans, too. That's a lot
of
fun.
Yeah. The other podcast you produce. Is that the only two you produce?
Until we launch, I've got two in the works.
Oh, right. No. You're going to be a busy man.
I am a busy man. Yeah, I was trying to remember a quote earlier because it was relevant to something you were saying, but somebody said, or it's probably a famous thing, but it was like, you're not a jack of all trades, you just have ADHD. It's like, I do all the things, just not that well.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, it's fun, man. I like being busy.
Thank you so much, bud, for coming on.
Thank you, man.
Definitely in the show notes, I'll be dropping a link to Kyle so that you can grab a streaming and all that kind of stuff. It'd be good. Thank you so much, bud.
Thank you.
Until next time.